from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
All right, welcome everybody. That's right, once again, it's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm your host, Ara.
My name is Molly.
And that's Molly over there, and Alon is...
MIA.
Yeah, MIA, yeah. He's trying to make his way to the studio right now. So depending on how you feel about Alon, you can either root for him to arrive quickly or root for him to arrive...
Never.
Late or never. He's going to show up at some point.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. So, so Molly's our new co-host.
Yay!
I guess I've just bumped you up from, what did we call Colin, from intern status.
Okay, that's
so
good. I wasn't aware I was at intern status before.
Well, maybe you were, and I don't know what Alon thinks, but who cares?
Yeah.
So, I think you're cool enough to be promoted from intern.
Cool.
So, and that's what really counts, is what I think. So, if you guys, anyone would like to call in, our phone number is 866-536-1100. And since, I wonder if Alon's listening. Can we make fun of Alon now?
We can.
So, since I'm running the show right now, if you call, I'll actually answer your call.
It would be pretty funny if Alon actually called in and kind of co-hosted from the phone until he got here.
Yeah, and so I strategically advised him not to. Let's just hope he's not listening right now. And let's hope that he's not listening far enough into the podcast when he does the editing. But anyway, I digress. Okay, so we've got a bunch of cool stories as usual. Molly, you were telling me something about GameStop before the show started. Why don't we start with that?
Okay. Basically, I read today online that GameStop is trying to kind of venture into the online digital distribution of games now.
Because they're feeling threatened.
Yes, they are actually.
So,
I mean, I think this article that I read in, they said that their stocks were down last quarter, and they really haven't seen a loss like that in a while.
Which is interesting, because I also read a blog story, I don't know, not a few days ago, that basically indicated that whatever's going on with what the what publishers like EA are attempting to do with online economies has actually not impacted or affected new game sales in general. So I'm wondering, maybe there's something else going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but basically what's going on is that, I mean, they are starting to feel a little bit threatened by digital distribution of games. Obviously, you buy a lot of stuff through Xbox Live Arcade, you buy a lot of stuff through the PSN, PlayStation Network store, even the Wii, I mean, all that. What they're trying to do now is, and they're testing this out in their flagship stores in Palo Alto, California. And what they're trying to do is basically install these kiosks that you can go into, and you have this card that you swipe, and it'll bring up all your information. And from there, you can purchase things. You can purchase downloadable content for your games. You can have a wish list of stuff. I mean, you can even go in and take, like, scan a game or something. And if you already own that, it'll bring up all the stuff for it. And you can just click on the screen, like, hey, I want to buy the downloadable content for this. And then, you know, just basically go from there. And the way that they're trying to incentivize this is that you will be able to get, like, a rewards type of program. There are more incentives with purchasing.
This is funny. I like that you're mentioning incentives, because we have something really interesting about incentives later on. But continue.
Okay. But they're trying to incentivize it by giving you rewards like, hey, if you purchase downloadable content in our store at this kiosk instead of purchasing it online.
Right. Like
in
the comfort of your own home without having to go out and drive to the store and all that other junk.
That eventually you'll be able to, like, accrue so many points and get rewards based on, you know, whatever. I don't know what type of...
So did they mention, like, specifically what these incentives are, or is it like, you know, we'll just...
No, nothing really. Like, it says that they have Power Up Rewards Pro. It's like a card.
That must be good
yeah.
if it's pro.
I mean, if it's pro, I would assume that after a while, maybe if you accrue so many points, like maybe you get a free downloadable game or something on your console of choosing their online marketplace.
Yeah. Now, this is really interesting, right? Because I was thinking the other day, you know how you'll go to, I don't know, you go to like some restaurant, they give you like this like loyalty card,
mm-hmm.
right? And most of them are almost useless, right? Especially if you go to like some Asian place, right? Because a lot of like the non-Asian places are like, okay, like buy 5 or buy 10 meals and get one free. But then like for some reason, almost all the Asian places are like, purchase 15 meals and get $3 off your next meal. Like they're not even going to give you like the pleasure of having one free meal after, you know,
after spending like $400.
Yeah, yeah. We'll give you a few dollars discount, right? So
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm wondering how that's going to work, because usually a lot of those incentive programs, like they go through a lot of effort to kind of obfuscate how much you're actually getting out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's usually just piddly, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, I don't know, my initial reaction just based on what you said so far is, wow, this is totally not going to work. Because why would I – I mean, if I'm already at the store, it's a hassle, right?
Yeah.
Because what do I have to do? I have to somehow sign up to get some card. I have to, like, corroborate my credentials in a certain way.
Basically.
Right? And then even if I'm at the store, I don't have it yet, right? So how's that going to work?
It says in this article that after you purchase the content, you swipe your credit card and you receive a validation code for whatever downloadable content you bought.
Right.
So basically, it's like you buy a validation code at the store, which you then have to go home and put into your system anyway. And the whole point of doing this is so that you get whatever type of incentive that they're trying to offer with their pro rewards program,
right,
or whatever.
And that's almost like the only reason to do it, is if it's worth it to get the incentive, you know, kind of like, you know, like, well, I do this, some people do this too, right? You get like a credit card and you pay off your balance every month and you just use it because, you know, twice a year you get like a $50 check or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Or, like, yeah, the whole, like, Best Buy thing they have, if the rewards program, if you spend so many, you get, like, $5 in the mail or something
right.
from them. So, but apparently, from the test that they're running at the Palo Alto store, it's really starting to go pretty well, and that they think that they're going to go forward with trying to install these kiosks in pretty much every store.
Now, this is interesting, because I don't know exactly what they define as like a successful trial, right? But I'm thinking about Palo Alto. Tell me if you disagree. That's probably the worst place to do a trial run of something technological like this.
Well, I mean, the way that they were kind of spinning it in this article is that it's at the heart of Silicon Valley, and it's they think that that's the most prosperous place to test this out. So, I mean, like, I suppose if you have a lot of tech heads and geeks and stuff going,
like, it's going to
yeah.
go over well there, right? Like, try it in Detroit. See what happens there.
Yeah, I suppose it. I really don't know how they're basing the success of this off, but they're saying that also they're closing down a lot of older stores and opening up newer stores,
right,
so that they can make room for the kiosks and whatnot. And an interesting thing about this, too, is that they're signing short-term leases for the newer stores. So that I think they're trying to cover their own bases here, like, just in case something
yeah,
bad happens.
Yeah, because regardless of what happens in Palo Alto, I mean, those people there are crazy for anything
yeah.
technological and new anyway, right? So,
mm-hmm.
man, this is really interesting. This
yeah.
is because it's like first, the publishers are trying to do some kind of weird chicanery to get around maximum profit rate, right? And then now GameStop is doing some even more chicanery to get around their chicanery. I don't even know. I don't think it's going to work. I don't know. That's my initial reaction. But it's really, I mean, yeah, I'm not too sure.
The thing
what do you
is,
think?
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, like, I would rather sit at home
right.
and download something rather than drive myself 15, 20 minutes out to a GameStop,
right.
get a code, and then go back home to download it.
Right, right.
I mean, even if there is some sort of incentive behind it, I would still rather just cut out the middleman and sit on my couch and download something
if I
want
it. Yeah, I think they'd have to offer like a pretty obvious incentive, you know?
Yeah. I mean, maybe if the prices in the store were a bit lower than they were, you know, versus buying it at home online.
Right.
But in this article, it also said that it's priced the same. It wouldn't be any different. So.
Yeah.
I would drive out 15, 20 minutes to a GameStop to buy it for $2-3 cheaper, but.
Would you do that? You would do that to save a couple dollars?
Maybe. I mean, I have a GameStop right up the street from me, so yeah. It's.
But your gas will probably be like a dollar maybe or 50 cents.
Maybe.
Depending.
It really depends. And it depends on the incentives that they're willing to throw in there too. Like if, you know, you accrue so many points and you get a free game, maybe I would be up for that.
Yeah.
But.
So is there anything more to this system or is that like the whole thing?
I mean, that's pretty much it. It seems like they're kind of partnering with a lot of online distributors to try and make this happen.
Well, the battle continues and the music continues, so that means we'll be back in just a minute, maybe with or without Alon.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Hello, everybody. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
That's right. Your name is Alon.
And you're Ara.
And I'm Ara. We kind of did this, but.
And there's intern Molly. I did not have a say in that.
Yeah, I know.
Am I an intern?
It just happens. Colin would be very upset to hear that she became co-host after one episode, and he stayed intern for an entire summer.
Yeah, but you know what? Life's tough, and I don't know. Life might be so tough that maybe you're demoted to intern now.
Hey, again.
All in one day. It's a roller coaster ride.
That's right.
I don't want there to be a case of sexism here. Like, I don't want special treatment.
Okay,
let's
demote her then, because we wouldn't want to give that impression.
The truth is, what makes you an intern is that you give me a piece of paper to sign by someone at a university that says you're an intern. You didn't do that, so you get to be co-host.
Oh, cool. That's yeah,
you're
I don't
promoted
have any
again.
Paper. Yay!
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot to talk about. I'm going to be, just like a caller would be, calling in and responding to a topic that you guys just discussed.
That's right.
Because, of course, I was listening on the radio. I know you thought I wasn't listening. I was hoping I wasn't listening, but I was totally listening, at least to some of it.
I was hoping you were listening.
Yeah. Now, here's why.
Deep down inside, I was secretly hoping you were listening.
Here's why GameStop's We Sell You Online Games, Even Though We're Not Online.
I'd love to hear this. Tell me.
Will work.
Tell me why it will work.
All right. First of all, you don't have to go to a store to buy it. You can buy it on their website. Like, whether or not they've announced it, you'll be able to buy it on their website, and they'll email you the code. But beyond that, you ever heard
about... Do you want the discrediting of your arguments to start now or later?
No, later. but beyond that, right around December or January every year, you hear the news talk about all the money that the retailer's making, and they all say, you know, retailers make the bulk of their money in December. If it wasn't for December, they wouldn't make any money. They would lose money. So, assuming that you have a retail venture to begin with, and you're willing to go that route, all you need is the foot traffic. You need people to buy the stuff. What's beautiful about December is that people are buying stuff for other people. That's the whole point. So they're going to buy a game, whether it's something you would download or something you would buy physically. It doesn't matter to them. They just need to give it to you, right? So they need a physical representation of the thing that they're buying. So first of all, this is great because it gives you the opportunity to gift an online game or an online-only game.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah. Thank you. But beyond that, people are buying things at stores, period. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you will go to the store personally because you're the gamer, you know what you want, you know what you're going to get, you probably will get someone to gift something like this to you, which means,
that's,
you know,
true.
Essentially you got it. So that market exists. That foot traffic market presumably will always exist, but, you know, certainly we're delving more into online sales than mall sales. You know, that constantly takes more online sales take more of a share away. But as long as there's profit to be made in stores, as long as they're still there to sell something, it makes sense for them to sell this pseudo physical online thing as well.
It's like they almost kind of have to, even if it'll be a huge loss for them.
Well, it can't be a loss for them. Right, could it be?
Right, but what I'm saying is, regardless of the outcome, the marketplace is so competitive that they almost kind of have to do it no matter what.
Honestly, I mean, first of all, you're right. But beyond that, there's no potential for loss here. And technically there is, right? But there's virtually no potential for loss because they already have a physical store. These things that they're selling are cards that take up virtually no physical space. So shipping them, it's not a question of shipping costs. It's not a question of production costs because making a card is nothing. Plus, it's probably made by the people who are selling the online games, and they're the ones taking the hit for the actual plastic that's being created. So there's nothing for them to lose. You already have a store. The only thing to lose would be if you created a store specifically to sell this or banked on this selling. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a store. But since they already have a store selling games, they absolutely can't lose. It's just a question of how well they will do and if it allows them to stay in the market once online takes over such a huge portion. Like, they need it to be good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'll die because they won't be making any other
games. It's like the dollar fries versus the whole meal.
What it's not is a decision to do it or not to do it. It's just a decision how to do it. There's absolutely no loss there.
Right.
Now, whether or not it'll succeed enough for them to stay alive, that is a question.
Now, I've got a few wrinkles to ruffle your feathers with.
Okay.
Even though that didn't make any sense.
Yeah, not at all.
I was going to say you can wrinkle.
Yes, yeah. You can. You can do it.
Ruffle a feather with a wrinkle.
Do it all the time.
I'll let it slide. You go ahead.
So, I understand the gifting thing, right? And I was like, okay, this totally works, right? You will never, ever, unless you're like giving something away seriously good, incentivize somebody to actually leave their house and go to the store for the express purpose of buying this, right? So the way I see this working is either A, you're already there.
Absolutely.
But even then, I'm very dubious about it for the reason that most of the time you find out what's available that's new online when you're already not in a mall or a store, right? Like you're at home or something like that.
Well, to kind of interrupt, I kind of get what Alana's saying because I actually worked at GameStop during the holiday season.
Okay.
And, yeah, he's signaling over there that he did too. So, I mean, it's – you have no idea, just people coming in like having no idea what to buy for their family. And a point that this article was making too is that you can create a wish list with this.
Right.
So, I mean, like if you go in and you scan the card and you see what's on your kid's wish list or whatever, it's easier for them. A lot of older people don't want to have to mess with buying stuff on the internet and distributing
it. This is true. Old people are afraid of technology. You're totally right.
Yes.
But this is great. Both of you guys are retail experts. So what about this, right? You can already... correct me if I'm wrong, buy the currency of whatever online system, right? You can buy Xbox Live Microsoft points, and that's your gift, right? So my question to both of you is, do you guys honestly think that, assuming that it's just as easy to, let's say, buy, a copy of Shank for your best friend for the holiday, that people would tend to do that at least as much as, buying a card of points to give to someone.
So let me answer that, Molly. Let me take
it.
So there is a difference. Now, to you and me, the knowledgeable user, the difference is limited, right? I could get $20 in points or I could get a $20 game. Now, except for the fact that there are $5 games, there are $10 games or $15 games.
Right.
And the points may not come in denominations that you want. But beyond that, it's all about messaging to the consumer. And the consumer in this case is the purchaser, not the actual consumer. So I should rephrase that. It's all about messaging to the purchaser. Mom and dad come in. They want to buy a game. I have to make another point. This opens up a market that didn't exist before or a market that didn't exist as well before. There's a lot of these properties that are coming out that are sub like retail, right? So $50 or $60 for a game. Now you can get games for $15. So I'm no Christian... Christmas celebrating person, right? Recently, I got married. I've been introduced to a new family. I get to celebrate Christmas a couple times. I learn about this stocking stuffer idea. You guys have stockings, and you throw very small things into them, yeah. or just a bag.
It's a little bit like breaking glass under a piece of cloth or, yeah. or lifting someone up on a chair.
In my family, my new family, I mean, they don't use the actual stockings. They hang some up and then they just give you a bag full of crap, usually crap. But imagine stocking stuffers. They didn't do it before. They didn't have games to buy other than really crappy Wii games for stocking stuffers or the really crap games that are now $10 or $15, right? Now they have these cards that are individual games. Hey, I got you
right,
this
But we already have game. The cards. They're just not individual games.
It's different.
I think the point that you're trying to make, though, is that it means more to receive an actual game than, like, a value for a game.
Yeah, well, as not only the recipient, but also the giver of the product. So, as a mom or dad.
I could see that. I think I can see that.
I can give you two games by getting two separate cards, or I could give you, you know, $120 or $40 card.
I mean, I'd rather take the money. You know that.
Yeah,
but...
because you like the choice. But that's not what gift giving is about. Gift giving is about showing what you got them. Also, you know, a parent might want to give them, you know, a or like X game, right? And not give them the freedom to buy a whole bunch of other things. Yeah. Or I might want you to have that specific experience. Like, I think everyone in the world should play Braid. And if I could buy Braid, I'd say you are going to play Braid or nothing at all.
Exactly, yeah.
And you can just throw them all in there, throw them into the stockings or whatever. There definitely is an advantage to having that actual... I'm not saying they shouldn't have the money available as well, because they serve different purposes. And they are very similar. And so for people like you and me, it wouldn't make much of a difference.
True.
But there certainly is a value to that, especially for gifters, especially. Right. And like I said before, it's...
You know, if you definitely want someone to play Shank.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, the reason this is happening is because, as you said before, Molly, like, there's cannibalization in the marketplace. They're losing sales to online, and so they have to bring those sales back. And the only way to do it is to find some utility for selling those online games that they can't physically sell.
Now, you know what's a great question? How much are they losing to online?
Well, that is a fantastic question, and probably very hard to quantify accurately.
But not hard when we come back.
Okay.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
All right, we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Now, you may have noticed that I very deftly wove in a reference on the outro to the show, from the show when we went out to the commercial last, right?
No, I didn't notice.
No. Well, perhaps someone else noticed, but I've got some stats for how much people are using things like, you know, like the EA Online Pass, for example, that they've just started doing. It's kind of interesting, so I just wanted to tell you guys about it.
Okay.
I'm a little surprised, frankly. So, for example, right, there's this group called EDAR, right? We all know about good old EDAR. So they've, you know, we're a little bit not too sure about their methodologies when they do studies and things like that, but they reported.
I don't think they do studies. I think they just do reports.
Okay. Well, they do a lot of reporting without studying then, perhaps. But... they're basically reporting that, I'll frame this as a question. Guess what percentage of people never ever check for downloadable content, according to them, whatever their measure is?
83.
I'm going to guess 68.
Wait, what's the total pool? Is this of all people who play online or just all people?
See, I don't know the parameters, so just make them up.
Well, that makes it much more difficult.
It does, but, and you know. I would be surprised if it was 80%. It's actually around 30 to 35%.
Oh, wow.
And that number goes continually downward as you give them more time to interact.
Probably. But apparently this percent of players never, ever check. Let's see. Hold on. I think who are online, so they have online access, but they never check to see what downloadable content there is. It's around 30%. So that's... I guess that's not so surprising. Here's one that's more surprising.
That's why games
surprising.
Like Street Fighter 4 say, right. Hey, there's downloadable content. You should go get it.
There you go, right? But you know what? I'm sure that will, the people who have not checked, that will probably not work for, because they'll probably get confused by that statement.
Dude, in the future, you're going to see the menu system of your game change over time. Like when you play your game a week later,
yeah. It'll
suddenly have a new option, and you'll click on it and be like, oh, if you want this option, go get the downloadable content.
Guitar Hero started to do that. Every time that you would get
you
on the...
You don't have to be the future to do that.
On the menu screen to whatever you want to do, go into career mode, quick play, or whatever, they would have a scrolling marquee at the bottom saying hey, this song is now available for download. If you go to the store, you can go directly from the menu of your game to go download this game or the song.
Yeah.
That's, there you have it.
So here,
the future is now.
It is. It could be now. Now, here's something more interesting. And now this is a little bit of a mix of an interesting stat with, I think, some hand-waving and some special PR technique. So about a week or two ago, there was a financial conference call by EA where the COO reported that for Tiger Woods PG Tour 11 and for NCAA Football 11, to quote him, he said that 60% to 70% of online connected users have redeemed a code for online pass. Now, what that means is that for everybody who's online and connected who bought the game new, right, 60 to 70% have actually redeemed the code to get free content. Right? Now, that sounds like a big percentage, but let me break it down a little bit. First of all, what the F do you mean by 60 to 70%? Why don't you have a concrete number? This makes me think it's actually 60%, and they're just broadening their range to make it sound better.
Oh, you mean why didn't they say 62.5%?
Yeah, why would you not know exactly how many? There's no reason.
Are we dealing with, well, I mean, that,
you're
that
dealing with PR. That's the reason.
No, because the number changes from the day you state it to the day it's printed. I mean, it's going to alter a little bit.
Right. So 70% is favorable for them, right? Because that's a lot, right? But if it's really 60%, what that means is that 40% of people who bought the game and have online access didn't even bother to care about what was on that free content code, which is a pretty big amount. That's almost half.
Or they didn't know about it.
Or they
How many
didn't
people
know
don't
it?
Look in the box to see? They just grab the disc.
You know
and
what?
It.
Or right,
they
didn't
lose
know
the box. Or
they
something.
Didn't know or they didn't care. So this is, I don't know. I find this interesting because what it tells me, at least, is that a lot fewer people care about these online things than I think maybe even the publishers estimated.
You know, what would be a fantastic number, which I can't think of a way to actually derive.
What's that?
How many people who bought the game new paid for the content that would have been free if they used the code in the box that they had?
Yeah, probably
who
very
paid
few.
For it when they had it free anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of not smart people.
Well,
maybe
yeah, I would imagine that
people.
Happens quite often if, like Elon said, people don't generally look in the little, leaflet forms that come with the box.
Right.
Or they don't speak the language of the country that they're in. There's plenty of people in this country who don't speak English.
Hey, there you go. That's actually a really good point. But you had something very interesting you wanted to introduce to both of us this evening, Alon.
A totally different topic, you mean?
On a totally different topic.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, it's our sponsor, UAT, the University of Advanced Technology. You should go to their website, uat.edu, to learn more about the programs they offer. Yay!
But
yay!
I had a feeling there's something more than just that.
You're talking about the email.
The email.
So here at Chatterbox, we're a bunch of nerds, and we take pride in that. Now, I'm a 31-year-old nerd, and I've learned how to not be so nerdy, but I still take pride in the title.
You make me feel real old, dude.
You don't seem like you're 31.
I appreciate that.
I'm a 19-year-old dude.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's totally believable.
So I like to speak to our audience because I know that there, at least a certain number of them, are like us. Probably about 100%. I'm willing to say 99.32%.
I'll
are just
that.
Like us.
Why not 33%?
Sure.
Well, I'm trying to give an exact number, and that's what it is right now. You can ask me next week; it could be different. So from time to time, I like to give advice to our listeners. For instance, when someone went over and shot a big school up, so a bunch of people in the school, and I said, hey, take some time off and go get laid and you'll be happier and then you won't be so upset to go shooting people. And I tried to give them some advice on how to do that. Now, I get an email this week that makes me realize, this guy's probably a little autistic,
Asperger's?
Or Asperger's, yep, which is basically a little autistic.
Very popular thing amongst the video game crowd.
Exactly, right? And he certainly listens to our show, and apparently listens to it a lot. And judging from the emails we've received from him in the past, I'd be willing to say yes, definitely Asperger-ish, love that, or autistic. So I will say to the person who emailed us this week, and to a lot of other people listening, I'm going to use an example. We probably all know about the Dave Chappelle show.
Yes.
All right. And I'm going to call this the Chappelle effect. All right.
The man is a gentleman and a scholar.
Yes. Hilarious stuff. And what you saw happen in public was that one day we were a bunch of pleasant folks. And the next day after Chappelle happened, we were all running into the office going, "What up, bitches? Hey, I'm rich, bitch. What up?" And so you suddenly start referring to everyone. Everyone. Your mother, your family, your friends, your coworkers, everyone.
Perhaps even your pet dog.
They're all bitches. Now, I'm going to tell people this. You walk into a room full of your dude friends, a party. Hey, Norm, I'm not getting censored, am I? No? No, I'm... Okay. Just making sure.
You're okay.
They could say it on TV. I could say it. So, so you walk into a room full of your dude friends. They're partying, drinking some beers. Hey, what's up, bitches? No problems. None whatsoever.
You could even say biatch.
Yeah.
And it's
it could
cool.
be a room filled half men, half women. 90% men. No, let's say a lot of women and some dudes. What's up, bitches? Fine.
Sure.
But
they might even be your bitches.
Yes. Let's say you walk into that room and you look directly at one of the girls and you say, "What's up, bitch?" You have exactly the same tone, exactly the same intention in your voice.
That's not going to go over so well.
Not going to work as well, right? It's you did exactly the same thing, but I guarantee the girl won't take it that way. And she might try to laugh it off, but inside she's thinking she hates herself. I'm making that up. But
or you.
But she won't be happy. And so that's my advice to
or
you
both.
To you folks out there who take some of these memes in the world and say things like that. And I'm going to tell to the person who emailed us, and by the way, that's not the word he used in this email. He just wrote to us, Ara, just to you and me, just saying, "Hey, blah, 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 you should do this in the show. I like, you guys are awesome, blah, blah, blah." And the something else, and referred to Molly in a way that I didn't appreciate. I actually got really infuriated, and I thought, how can I turn this into an educational experience? Because I realized, you know what? He probably didn't do it on purpose. He doesn't really
focus your anger.
Right? So I'm just going to tell you, listener who sent this email.
Focus your anger.
Right? So I'm just going to tell you, listener who sent this email, and you know who you are, were you to do this again, and were I to then meet you afterwards, you may not be happy. That's all. I'll just leave it at that. So I'm telling you as an educational experience, because you may find yourself in a situation where you do something like that.
Now, is that a threat, Alon?
No, no.
Or is it a promise?
No, I'm telling honestly, because I appreciate our listeners. I appreciate the listeners who pay attention, and they like the show. They listen to all of them. And I just think he made a mistake. He didn't realize what he was doing. And so I'm explaining that it had an impact and that you should be careful, because right now this is the radio and an email. But if you ever do that in real life, you're likely to get yourself beat up. And not by me. I don't do that. I don't fight people. I might encourage you to punch me so I could punch you back, but I would just be careful, sir, and try not to do that in the future, because people won't like it. So that's just a public service announcement to all of our listeners. Don't be dicks.
Don't make Alon mad either.
Yeah. Me.
It's you.
Because I missed the first one.
Yeah, but
so
then
I had two and four.
That's right. And it's now four.
Okay, well, hello everybody.
Three quarters of a show is gone already. Can you believe it?
During the break, you guys got to read that email, so you can understand why I had to take an entire segment of the show. Again, it's because I was mad, and then I turned that anger into a positive
now
experience
angry.
By teaching.
Do you understand this?
I'm teaching our listeners. I had to be censored that last time.
I'm not as capable of teaching as you are.
I got so passionate, Norm told me that eventually he did have to censor me. So I'm sorry, listeners, that you may have missed some of that.
We had some naughty language in there.
I'm just saying...
I'm just hoping that you guys have the power to hold me back now, because now I'm getting pissed off.
To make sure that all of that got out onto the airwaves, I'll just say, don't be rude. I'll just leave it at that. And know that some people might not take what you think is perhaps a joke or something funny.
If you're going to be rude, like, it better be...
There should be a reason behind it, too.
It better be really funny.
And there was no reason for this.
It better feel like
out of nowhere.
Bill Cosby funny.
If it were to be in a situation where it was like I knew the guy, if he were even a mild acquaintance, and he were to referringly joke to me and refer to me as that, I'd probably laugh it off. But, like, seeing this, I'm kind of like, that's mildly offensive.
You're pissed off, like, too, aren't you?
To put it this way.
Not too much. I mean, you're going to have criticisms no matter what, but I'm just, I really don't care when it comes down to it. I thought it was funny.
She's pissed off.
A little bit.
But let's say we had a meetup for our listeners, and this gentleman came to the meetup. Your impression, say, hey, this is the guy who wrote that thing. You'd be like, oh, yeah, hey, goodbye. Right, probably not too interested in talking
to
that
character. I would probably be quite direct with him.
Okay.
Because I can be that way sometimes.
All right.
I would probably approach him and be like, hey, you're that guy that said that about me. What's up, dude?
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Let's put that to rest and remind everyone once again of the website for the University of Advancing Technology. That's uat.edu. And move on to some perhaps more interesting
subject
matter.
I got something incredibly interesting.
Okay.
You guys, perhaps you've not heard of Chris Hecker. He is now officially my new favorite badass. I can say that, right?
I don't know. That's okay.
Okay. He is a badass.
Okay.
Okay? He gave this talk, I think it was at GDC or something, and I just listened to it this evening. And I'm absolutely thrilled with this guy. He's my new hero.
Is this the one I've got me reading over?
Yes.
Here? Okay.
So basically, what his thing is all about is he is questioning the value of things like achievements, right? His talk is actually called "Are Achievements Considered Harmful?" He wants to emphasize the big question mark, okay, which is really important. Because it turns out, right, this guy did a lot of research reading other people's research papers, and it turns out that, right, now, I got to preface this a little bit with some definitions, okay? Now, if you think about what motivates people to play anything, right, anything in games, right, you can categorize all those things into two groups. They are either intrinsic motivations or extrinsic motivations, right? An example of intrinsic motivation is I like to play Street Fighter because I love playing Street Fighter, right? And extrinsic motivation is I like to play Street Fighter because I can get 1,000 gamer points.
And I like having my friends being able to see that I enjoy playing Street Fighter and I'm fairly good at it because I can get the achievements.
Sure, because I have 1,000 gamer points from it,
yeah.
Right? So, the interesting part, the thing that's completely fascinating is that by all accounts, according to what's in kind of like the common knowledge of people and about how to motivate people to do things and so on, right? It's pretty much like, I should say, it's like common knowledge that if you want to motivate someone to do something, you give them a reward, like a sticker or a gold star or a hot dog or some money or whatever, right? These are extrinsic motivators, right? However, researchers who actually have studied this have found out that if you give extrinsic motivation to somebody who's doing a interesting task, in other words, something not dull and menial, then that actually results in a decrease of their intrinsic motivation to do it. And the short way of rephrasing that is to say, for example, if you get money for doing something, you like doing it less.
I can see that.
And they've done experiments where they basically, for example, put some people in a room and they said, okay, you guys, you do these crossword puzzles and we'll give you $5 to do them. And you guys, you just do them. You don't know about each other, right? You just do them, right? And the next week they had them come in and the group that, for example, got $5 for doing crossword puzzles, guess what? They said, okay, now you do crossword puzzles and we won't give you money. Guess what? They didn't want to do the crossword puzzles. They had a choice to do them or not do them. The people who didn't get an extrinsic reward for it, right, remained motivated and to actually engage in that activity. And so the implication here is potentially gigantic, right? The implication is that all of these games that are coming out these days in the past like 5, even 10 years maybe, right, are loaded with extrinsic motivations. He also calls it exogenous or endogenous, but it's more or less the same thing. All these things, we have tons and tons and tons and tons of devices that give you extrinsic reasons to play the game. And I don't know. We don't have a huge amount of time to discuss this, but I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are just based on hearing this.
Well, for me, I kind of agree with that because I kind of got roped into the whole trophy achievement thing on the PS3, the 360. I kind of like, it gives me a good feeling when I get a trophy for like doing something in a game.
Right. I can tell you from my use of Facebook that Molly has received trophies.
Yes, I have.
For playing Scott Pilgrim.
Yes, it was a good game. I actually just beat it. But with that, like I've noticed that I gravitate more towards games because only recently has, I mean, it's been around for a couple of years, but there was a time before trophies existed on the PS3 that you didn't get that type of reward. And so some games don't have a patch for trophies. Examples would be the first Assassin's Creed game, Metal Gear Solid 4.
And so there's nothing in there.
Yeah, there are no reward incentives or anything like that for it whatsoever. You don't get trophies. So I feel less inclined to play through those games. Like, I'm finding it's kind of difficult to pick up and play Assassin's Creed because I'm not going to get trophies for it. I know that sounds super weird, but I feel less obligated to play it, and I feel like I want to play it less because I'm not going to get rewarded for it.
Yeah, which seems to me sort of like the opposite of what you're suggesting.
Well, not necessarily, though. What I find fascinating about what you just said, right, is that one thing I've observed about just how I react to these sorts of things, right, is that, I don't know, the theory that I'm putting forth based on this is that, you know, it sounds like what happens to you is that when you get accustomed to expecting a certain reward,
yes,
it's all about the reward.
Exactly.
Consequently, right, you actually, the process of, let's say, like playing Assassin's Creed, it's not fun to play. You're getting more of your enjoyment, to be more extreme about it, right? You're to make the point obvious, you're getting all of your enjoyment from getting the trophy and being able to show that off. And all of the enjoyment that you would have otherwise been able to extract from the intrinsic activity of the game has basically been replaced. It's moved over to, I'm doing this for the trophy. I'm doing this for the money. And so my theory is that, you know what, like now that you're expecting all these trophies, you don't, even though you're more motivated to complete the activity, mm-hmm. you're maybe not having as much fun doing it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like there are some games where like you look at it and it's like, oh my God, you have to do this incredible feat to get this trophy, and I'm still gonna try for it just to get the trophy. I mean, it's something that I wouldn't consider fun, but I'm still gonna strive toward it so that I can get that trophy.
What would you consider it?
Would I consider it?
If it's not fun, how would you characterize it?
He's looking for word. Work.
I'm so totally worry. Putting you on the spot here. Work!
Yeah,
it's work!
That's what I said. Yeah, it's
Imagine
work.
Imagine that!
So let me boil this down to the people who may not be following the conversation. It's basically, when you get a reward for something, like money or an achievement score, getting that then makes you, at least the suggestion of this, is that it makes you associate it as work instead of fun. So then, down the line, you might think less of games because, well, if my experience with games is performing this work task, I don't want to play it. It's not fun anymore. And so that means that achievements are making us less interested in playing games.
They're like work. They're like work to get the pellet.
Exactly.
That's pretty scary, dude. If you really think about it, that's pretty scary. Now, there's other dimensions to this, too. For example, you know, all these research papers have generally found out that when people are motivated intrinsically, they actually do better work and they're happier about it and across a lot of different dimensions, right? So even though you might be, you know, the gold star, the dollar, the hot dog, whatever works, right? You don't do the activity as well as if you were intrinsically motivated.
All right, so that's the end of our show. Think about what we were just talking about the next time you play a Grand Theft Auto game and you do tasks that aren't part of your mission. Beyond that, go to PAX. Penny Arcade Expo is in less than 2 weeks. It's like a week and a half now. I'm going to be there. My show is going to be there Sunday at 3:30 in Serpent Theater. I don't know if Molly or Ara are going to be there, but I will be. We'll have prizes. We'll have trivia. We'll talk about it on the show afterwards. It's going to be awesome. Thanks for listening.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.